3HL 104.5 The Zone. What up, Nashville? It's hot in the Music City.
Woo, yes, it is.
If you're working out, we're thinking about you and praying for you and all of those things. Power through. Get to that tall boy later. Maybe two of them.
Oh.
Speaking of tall boys.
What up?
Okay.
Wait, was that planned?
No.
Okay.
Did I do it right?
The first time I met Vincent Love, super national sports fan, was at the Tennessee-North Carolina Music City Bowl about 10 o'clock in the morning. We're doing a show, and he walks up with two tall boys, sits down by himself, and opens one of them up and just starts drinking. It is his birthday today. Happy birthday to the man who's had like 9 different Twitter accounts because he keeps getting bounced. At He Hate V on Twitter.
Happy birthday, V Love.
To my right, there she is, wearing her Roll Tide Roll shirt, Dawn Davenport. What's up?
What's up? How in the world is this any kind of Roll Tide Roll?
That may not be true, what I said. But theater of the mind, that's radio, right?
No, everybody can see us now.
Go to Zone TV and see if he's telling the truth.
There you go. Spoiler alert, he is not.
No, that's not what you do.
Oh, sorry.
Speaking of Zone TV, you can watch the show live there.
Come on.
On Twitter, we just put the Periscope feed out there. I keep hearing Periscope went away, but it's still called Periscope.
Periscope and Twitter are one. Periscope is Twitter. Twitter is Periscope.
I wonder Finkel why they
changed Einhorn. My heart. Einhorn is Finkel.
Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn.
That was my assistant coach name in high school, Coach Finkel.
Really?
How's Einhorn doing today?
Yeah, I bet he loved Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
I used to drive him nuts.
I'm shocked.
You can also watch the show on Facebook Live. Yeah, me too. Karen on Facebook Live. War Eagle Dawn.
War Eagle Karen.
Karen also says, Slay, we're glad you're in the building. In the building.
I am definitely in the building.
Ron Slay, what up, Twitch?
Twitch, please.
You can get us on Twitch too. Yeah, download that app. That's the one I prefer. And YouTube, you can subscribe to the show there. So John Robinson started today. Titans on the field today for the first time this season. And it was good to see social media feeds with like receivers catching balls in the end zone, like Racy McMath from LSU.
Looking big, making big plays.
He sounds like a speed math guy character on Picture Pages.
Special teams kid.
Racy McMath?
4 squared is 16.
Oh, he's a guy. Oh, that look right there, Babs. Yeah, that let me know.
Do you think Racy McMath could do speed math? Like, if we had him on the show, go, hey, what's the square root of 64? And he could do it real fast?
You know what?
I know I couldn't, so.
I need a pedicure.
Even though you're looking at your fingernails.
Yeah, I mean, dang, I meant manicure.
Okay.
That's because men go get pedicures, but I just happen to sneak over to the manicure side after it's over. Because my cuticle was hurting.
What kind of polish you get on those things?
Zero.
That's where you draw the line?
Yep. What you got to say, Babs?
I was waiting to see how that applied to Racy.
Because because I was, you know what, I was thinking, go fast.
I kind of was, too.
I was thinking, go fast. Then my fingers start hurting. I was like, I need to.
By the way.
So now you're on his squirrel.
Yeah.
There is an extreme close-up happening on Dawn Davenport right now. On
why?
Zone TV.
Sure is.
Don't why? Look at me.
Why? Who keeps messing with this?
It just got your forehead in it. No, it's not that. Somebody needs to zoom out, Babs.
You need makeup on your forehead.
No, this is shiny.
This is where we are.
It's the light. The light
listen,
is
listen, if we don't talk about the Titans soon, I'm going to lose my ever-loving mind.
Racy McMath, vroom! So the look you gave me, Babs, let me know that he's that guy on special teams as well. So who would you take? Him or, what's my guy, the running back? Darrington?
Darrington Evans?
Yeah, who would you take back there to return kicks?
I'll bet he ends up being the guy. But
Darrington?
Yeah, but you could have a different guy at punt return.
Man, that's
Don's still mad over there. Look, okay, our day with Dawn Davenport began at like 8 o'clock this morning.
Yes, it did. See, I don't like when, first of all, you know what? I'm going to start going to pick Babs up because I don't like when people mess a day up like
that. I'm sitting here getting my brakes checked again, and this old woman, has her ring going. Is that ringer? Like the ringer?
No, her ring, like the door ring.
I told you. I was right.
Yes, where yep. it dings like anytime yep. somebody, and clearly somebody.
Camera.
Yes, the ring camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which everybody knows like. That sound. Yep. There's a commercial with that sound, because anytime it's on the commercial, my dogs lose their mind.
I hate that sound.
Really? Ugh.
Because they think somebody's at the door.
I know that sound from yours, too, when you don't put it on silent. And do I not? I'm not always all over you on it, aren't yeah. I? Put that thing on silent.
I
yes.
know. And then War Damn Eagle starts ringing over there yes. right after she gets on me for
Touché.
That.
That's correct.
Every 10 seconds, she won't silence her phone, and my patience is being tested 2 days in a row. Ag. Morning, boys.
2 days. Morning, boys. 2 days in a row. I mean, that's just like common courtesy.
New breaks, man. They'll come to you, dude.
Well, that's what I should have done. Well, this is the other thing. Like, clearly somebody was doing work in her yard or on her porch. So it was yeah. every yeah. 2 seconds. I'm like, just turn it off. Just Please. Turn it off. Anyway, So Titans hit the field today.
I mean, the first bit of news was John Robinson addressed the media and said that the roster was 90% mm-hmm. vaccinated.
Now, does that number include the guys that are mid-vaccination? Do we know?
It's a great question.
And does it? Are they just talking players? Are they
You're
talking
standing all so far
staff,
away.
Too?
Like, I think well, you I think staff
JR!
Is...
Does that include the partial guys?
Should have asked them.
You have to be safe nowadays. My take is that this staff is 100% because yeah. it's required. Mm-hmm. Like you can't.
Oh, Vrabel said the staff is 100%.
Yeah, okay. yeah. you
that.
Can't tell the players it's required. You could just make their life miserable if they don't get it, but and then preach the competitive advantage. But yeah, for the staff, 100%. And I think that's why we're seeing coaches here and there that are relieved of their positions.
Right.
We know the Vikings coach. That was a public thing. So.
Well, and it was pretty obvious how this was all going to go down. Once the NFL made it, I mean, they put peer pressure literally on everybody in the league and made it really difficult with all of the protocols, which there was another memo last night that indicated Ooh. Two fines for a couple of different things, which we'll hit on in just a second. But, the QB1, Ryan Tannehill, he was asked about the vaccination thing because he had a mask on during warmups.
He was honest.
And this is what he said.
Yeah, it's a high number. You look around and almost everybody's either been vaccinated or in process. I'm currently in process right now, so that's where it's at. But yeah, I think the NFL has kind of made it clear what they want to happen. And if you don't fall in line, they're kind of trying to make your life kind of miserable with all the protocols. So I think you're seeing the trend is that most guys are getting vaccinated.
Does anybody else appreciate his honesty there?
Yes.
First, Brent, it's very out of character for quarterbacks. You're always like, quarterbacks never say anything. And what did you say?
I think you have to there because, you can't be a starting quarterback in the NFL and not get vaccinated under the current situation. Regardless of what you think about it, you have to do it. Don't you think? If any of us were on a football team under these parameters in the NFL, regardless of what you think about the vaccination and all that stuff, you would have to do it for your guys, right?
Yeah, have no choice.
Yeah, you're the leader.
And they can't miss you.
Now, if you're if you're Brian Hoyer, maybe you can get away with it. I don't know. He'll probably get cut. But
I was going to say, when you're to that point, they're just like, peace. It's not worth it.
Yeah, no, matter of fact, we got somebody that's in waiting that's already vaccinated.
You think he said it just because this is what his entire locker room is saying? Is God, they're making our lives miserable on this. He's like, screw it, I'll say it.
I talked to a couple of other players that weren't going to get the wouldn't get the vaccination if not for the NFL stuff.
Okay,
and they did it because of their guy. You're one of the. It's bigger than you,
And we're talking about the NFL, but at the same time, it's everywhere in the world that are taking on this same thing. To go to the TBT, I had to get the exact same thing.
Right. And you did it because if you didn't, then you guys would have been tested every single day, and there's your competitive disadvantage. Yep. So you made the decision to do it for the team.
Yep. And it was to the point, it had to be a certain percentage. So we went through it almost like drawing straws. Who's going to do it? You know what I'm saying?
How many more do we need to hit the percentage? Yep. Yeah.
And it was two or three people that didn't do it, and we were up there on Thursday. They tested them three times. We played on Friday. We got up there Thursday night. We got up there. They tested them three times. before we played at 7 o'clock Eastern the next day.
The unvaccinated players?
Yeah.
Three times between that and Friday. That's crazy. And that's the this basketball tournament with alums and not professional athletes in a trillion-dollar business here, right?
And told them that you have to wait 30 minutes. Like, they would not let them walk on the court to shoot around until the results came back. So, yeah,
Tom Pelissero last night tweeting out, some of that memo that was sent out, Brent, that you mentioned, which was the discipline was included in it for any player, regardless of their vaccination status. But any player refusing to wear a tracking device, $14,650 fine. Any player refusing to submit to required virus testing, $50,000.
So the tracking device can detect if you've gone to banned areas outside the team facility. So everybody's got to wear that. And if you don't, $14,650 every time they ping you. So
that's for the 14, first offense.
Yeah.
And then $50 if you say, nah, man, I ain't taking that
$50
test.
$50 a piece. Yep.
Goodness.
Let's get Rick in Hendersonville in real quick. We got Coach Matt coming up in the next segment. Rick, what's up? How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing fine. Thank you. The question I've got is, this apparently is going on throughout the league about guys just not wanting to get the vaccination. And Tannehill is the last example, but he said, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get it. What are these guys planning on doing with their children that have to get booster shots to attend school?
Okay. First of all, that's none of our business because that's their kids. Yeah. That's not our business. I would assume that they're probably okay with that because that's vaccinations and boosters that have been around for years and years and years. So not to jump into.
And some people are not okay with that.
Some people aren't. And I mean, I have a very good friend whose wife is not okay with vaccinations and does not vaccinate her children. And that is their deal and their decision, whether I agree with that or not, I'm out on that. Matter. But like the talking about the professional quarterback of our football team's kids and their decision to vaccinate their kids.
I'm
like,
out on that.
Sorry, Rick, but that ain't my business. No. And I don't care. Yeah. All I care about is what we're talking about when it bleeds into sports. And that's why we're talking about this vaccination. We're talking about what the NFL is requiring, and by not requiring it, but basically as Ryan Tannehill said, making life miserable. We don't know why he feels the way he does about the vaccination. You know what? I'm going to be really transparent. Like, I had health issues after I had a baby, a lot of them. I was very hesitant to get the vaccine because I am finally getting over some health issues that I had after having a baby. It has nothing to do with where I sit politically, because hopefully if I'm doing my job, none of you know where I am sitting on the political spectrum because it's not important, because that's not what I'm here to talk about. But for me personally, just because we're a transparent show, and I know we got to go to break, but there's so many different reasons for people out there. There are people that have immune issues. There are people that have had health issues that are scared to get the vaccine because they don't know how their body's going to react to it. So there are a lot of things out there, and we are not here to sit here and judge on what people are thinking, to jump to conclusions, and certainly not to talk about how somebody raises their children.
Perfect. A lot of parents out there that won't get their kids vaccinated either because of other things. But yeah, I mean, everybody's got their own reason. It doesn't matter to me what Ryan Tannehill's doing. He's the parent of his kids, not us. Right?
Correct.
All right. Yes. Coach Matt coming up. Stay tuned. 3HL 104.5 The Zone. RHL 104.5 The Zone, Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, Ron Slay. I didn't even say that to start the show. Produced by Joe Hunk. Get us on Twitter at RHL 104.5. Dane on Twitter. Damn it, I love it when Don Davenport gets fired up. Especially when you detect that she's debating about saying whatever it is she wants to say. Then the F it gene kicks in, and there she goes. Get him. Love it. Y'all got your hands full with her, fellas.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
There's a lot of truth to a lot of that.
Without question.
Dane,
and we,
you're,
and we love her for it.
Oh, yeah. He's so right. Like, I like feel it. I feel the process in my head, and then I'm like, oh, I don't care. I'm going.
Going anyway.
Slay's a little bit like that, too. He'll start he'll start down the storyline, and then he'll be like, who am I affecting by telling
maybe
him?
Maybe the answer to this is Coach Mack, but who is Don's yellow light?
Maybe Coach Mack.
That could be. Yeah.
Coach Mack. Coach Mack will give me a yellow
light. Coach Mack's more of a rider than a light.
Right.
He's going to ride with our Babs Bunny.
Coach, what's up?
Coach.
Y'all don't mess with Don.
See, I told you.
We get the hell out of the way.
I told you.
Don is no joke. And most of the time, when she starts going off, she's right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Coach, was it West Texas hot out there for practice number one?
Is where you could air, men and ladies. It was absolutely breathing mayonnaise, and it's going to be different. It's going to be more tomorrow. I'm just glad that they're having practice from 9:30 to 11:30.
Right.
Instead of the middle of the day.
That makes it a big plus, but it got pretty close out there. But it was good. I mean, it was a nice first day. It was good to see everybody. I'm glad that, you're talking about getting vaccinated to do your job. We all have to be vaccinated to be there.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Titans Radio, we've got to be vaccinated to be there. The media has to be vaccinated to be there to be able to interview the players the way they're able to now, even to be able to be there at the press conference. You know, they have to be vaccinated. So anyway, but yes, the weather was a little warm, but great energy today. First practice out of the gate. There were some guys out there that, I'm standing back there in the end zone. I always watch practice. Don's been there with me before. I always watch practice from the end zone because that's the only way you can watch it and get spacing and see what's going on. A lot of the times I'll stand back there with Anthony Pastrano, you know, who I've known for 15 years, who's their video director, and they're doing all these robotic cameras now. Yeah. The way they film practice. Now, it used to be up in the towers, would go up and film it and then have to come down. These are all robotics now. I mean, it's very high tech. But anyway, he's got a little truck that he sits in that they've got several of them around the field. But I could sit there and watch what he's filming with him on the screen. I can stand there just like I'm watching the tape, and it's elevated so I can see it. I mean, I'm absolutely in my best place when I'm doing that. And so watching it today was really good. I can see things happen before they happen. I'm standing back there with Rhett and then John Robinson standing back there right at the goalpost in the end zone. They're working on red zone offense against red zone defense, 7-on-7. And Monty Hooker made one of the best, a really great play today. We'll talk ball just here in a minute, playing quarters coverage, which means four across back there in the red zone. Ball's on about the +7 yard line. He was looking over there at a 3-by-1. He recognized immediately the route as soon as the number three guy went out. Number two came up the seam. He's the backside safety. He came across and poached that and picked that so quickly. I mean, it was a big-time play. Amani Hooker, I'm really excited about watching him this year.
The only problem with Amani Hooker that I have, I love that he's been elevated too, but – the only problem I have with him is the question mark that is left by him moving from his, secondary role last year.
Well, they've got plenty of other guys.
There you go. So I'm curious. Quarters coverage near the goal line. What should the quarterback do in that situation? Underneath?
Well, no. What he's looking at? He went look. That's the backside safety. It wasn't the front side safety. He made the correct read off of the front side safety because they'll influence the front side safety with the width of the route. Okay. Amani Hooker, I mean, that comes from a lot of things. First of all, it comes from paying attention during OTAs with what's coming with the route, right? Pay attention to splits and also, pay attention and look at complementary routes as to what's going on. That's when you can tell that he's starting to get to the second level of what's going on. And this is the first day. You know, I talked to you guys before when we were talking during minicamp about, Retention is a huge thing that you work on as a coach because you want them to retain, and then you also want them to be able to execute off of that retention. That, to me, was a great example of that. As soon as he started moving towards it, John Robinson and I both said, that's a pick.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's interesting. With you talking about Amani Hooker in that way, it reminds me of your evaluation after he was drafted. And if I remember correctly, you said – that it looks like on tape that he's a film study retention guy.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have some great draft discussions when I was in the studio with you guys during that draft when he was coming out. And you could see it. You could see it, and you could see it in the way, too, Iowa deployed him, because you knew that he had to be a film study guy, Brent, because of how many different spots he played on that defense.
Yeah.
And that defense wasn't just a stationary defense. I mean, they did a lot of interchanging. They did a lot of bogeying or disguising, and he played a lot of different spots. And so there's no way that you could operate like that as a player in that type of a system and not study tape, because you have to be able to get a jump on things. You can't just play things, you know, from a standstill point. So anyway, I like that play today. Of course, you know, I like defensive plays anyway, yes. But I like that one.
Coach Mack with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. I love that we actually have players on the field that we can talk about.
I know, me too. Well, and I was going to say, like, obviously we just hit on Amani and all of that, but overall, what generically kind of stood out to you today, Coach Mack?
Some of those guys, they look different, and I know Vrabel has said this, but yeah, he's talked about Anthony Ferkser's thicker now. I mean, you can tell. Look, he had an off-season program that worked. I'll tell you who else looks different: Tier Tart. You know, Tier Tart's a kid that came in here and did a pretty nice job playing the shade technique, which is, you know, between the center and the guard on the inside, you know, the inside part of the defense, the interior part. But last year, I mean, he was just kind of playing on, you know, just getting dropped in here and just kind of being a big body in the middle. Well, you can tell. I mean, he's been to two small schools, so he's probably never really had a real off-season program. He's never probably really had a real structured program as to how to get your body right. Well, he went to Mike Vrabel in the off-season, went to Frank Perino, said, "Look, how do I do this? I need a, you know, give me a program," which they always do. And you can tell his body is redone because he's quicker, he's more sudden. I mean, you can tell, again, as I said, I'm just talking about the way that he looks just as far as – now, with the defensive and offensive linemen, the only thing that I watch right now is really basically their lower body flexibility, but I watch their quickness and seeing how fast they can shoot hands and get off, because, you know, you can shoot your hands as hard as you want, but if you can't shock and shed as a defensive player in this league, you can't play for long because stuff happens too fast. He looks different too. And so anyway, I like looking at that. And then Christian Fulton is reconfigured his body too. You can tell that he has been in the league for a year, maybe not in the league for a year on the field, but he's been in the league for a year in an off season and in a program. You can tell that too.
Coach Mack, did the guys come back from this break and pick back up where they left off, you know, as far as the instruction and everything? Was practice smooth, or was it a lot of stoppage and trying to teach things, or did they get right to it?
That's a really, really insightful question, Ron, because you tell us you've been a player. Yes, they picked right up. There was no – look, when they picked up off, and they – look, they've got three separate categories of phases they're going to hit here. This today and tomorrow – they will be in helmets and just jerseys, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the next 2 days on that, once they go into Friday and Saturday, they'll be in helmets and shells, which are those protective pads that you wear underneath your shoulder pads. Mm-hmm. That's 2 days of that. Have a day off Sunday, then they go into Monday's practice, first day they're able to put pads on. But what you're saying is they picked up. If you'll remember, we talked about this, I think, last week on this show. When you come in, you start to reinstall, but you reinstall once you start now in training camp at a faster pace. So there was no wait and let's explain, let's do it. They were moving really good in their team periods and also in their individual periods. You can tell that this group has been together on the field in an off season. Yeah. You can tell that.
Coach Mack with us. You can watch the show on Twitter, Facebook Live, YouTube, and Twitch. Ramon Foster on YouTube. He's on the Tart train. He's glad you said Tier Tart. He loves that guy.
Well, I mean, he was a guy that came in, and we needed him. I mean, the Titans needed him because, you know, we needed a big body there in the middle. And what the thing that he was able to do and that you could see, he was consistently getting better, but you could tell that he was going to have a little bit of a ceiling even last year because he hadn't had an off season. The off seasons are important for these guys, and not only off seasons where they're training here, but how, you know, they have to learn how to be a professional. Mm-hmm. Because when you're a professional, your body is that's everything. But you have to know how to get it right for what you're being asked to do. And you can tell that he worked on that. I like the guy because I think, look, Anytime you've been to small schools, you've been cut, you've been kicked around. Some of those guys sometimes, when they get their chance, they pretty much grab a hold to it and don't let go until they have to.
Coach Mack with us. I saw this question on Twitter, so I'll just ask you. Do we start to see wear and tear on running back Derrick Henry after two huge seasons, or is he still rolling? Based on the video they put out today, get the hell out the way of that guy.
I tell you what, though, they're managing him so well. I mean, Mike Vrabel and Tony Dews, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing with this dude because, look, it goes through individual. I mean, he's in tremendous shape. I mean, that's a – I don't even need to say that. But then, you know, when they go to team, a lot of their team stuff, he's over there in the sand pit working with the assistant strength coach. He doesn't need to take a whole lot of reps running inside-outside zone in practice. I promise you he knows how to do that. Now, once they start getting into game week and he starts getting the timing and stuff, but right now, I mean, they've got him on such a great management program, and they've had him on that since he's been here. I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it because it's true. Mike Vrabel has got a great feel for his players, and because he's done it. He's done it, and he makes it a point to stay in tune with them. Again, I was sitting over there today in the end zone. Frank Perino, the strength coach, comes over and asks Anthony, you know, when's the catapult stuff going to be ready, which is that, you know, the thing they have in the back, you know, that they can punch right into their iPads when they come in and see load management, see speed, see everything that's on there. Guys, it's a science now. It really is. And, again, I was fascinated with it when I was coaching. When it first came into the league, I loved it, and I think it's very, very valuable, and it's only as valuable as the people that know how to use it. These people here at the Titans, they know how to use it.
Coach Mack, real quick, you talked about Amani. Does Kevin Byard still look like he's the guy that's leading those guys in the back? Vocally, you know, I know they haven't put any pads on, but just being the guy first to the drill, first in sprints, like, is he that guy right now, or is it too early right now?
Without a doubt. No doubt. He is the dude. He is the dude back there. And here's the other thing too. And look, the speed of practice. See, that's what one thing that you have to learn how to do coming in the National Football League. You have to learn to practice at speed without pads on. And so their speed of practice. I always look at watch that because speed of practice is important. You don't have to slam into bodies at, you know, every play. Right. To be able to get ready to play football, but you have to practice the speed of the game. And they were doing that. And yes, is he there? Absolutely. And that's one thing that, I mean, they emphasize it on both sides of the ball, in and out, in and out. I mean, Craig Aukerman emphasizes it. I love watching his special teams period because it's a speed thing, because the game's a speed game. And it's not only a speed game running, you know, straight down the field. It's a short area quickness burst speed game. So you don't do anything in slow motion in the National Football League when the whistle blows. You just can't.
It's amazing. Like if you've never been to practice and you can go to practice, obviously there are constraints with construction this year. But I think that's one of the things that stands out is how many reps they can get in because they're so seamless.
Yep.
And you're right. I mean, you got to teach the new guys that stuff in the beginning. Aaron on Periscope, Coach Mack is like crack. No one ever gets enough.
Aaron, that's very nice of you. That might be a compliment. Crack's pretty expensive.
Coach Titans had outside linebacker John Simon. What do they get with him?
A very smart player. Just, I mean, really, he's kind of he's a little bit, not a little bit. I mean, in the mold of maybe what? Now, Mike Vrabel was a quality player.
Yeah.
And I remember vetting him coming out, you know, when he came. I mean, and you knew you had a physical, smart dude right from the jump wherever he went. He was a classic 3-4 outside linebacker, which he turned out to be one of the best in the league. I think Simon has kind of followed that role. Yeah. But, you know, he's a really smart player. He's a savvy dude. He's going to help. He will help this defense some. And so – you see, those kind of pieces that you start to pick up, you remember we always talk, guys, about chumming the bottom of the roster. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know how when you go deep sea fishing, you always chum the water, you know, throw those smaller, you know, you throw stuff out in the water to see if you can gather in.
Yeah.
Well, you're always chumming the bottom of your roster, and you never stop doing that. And to me, that was a nice pickup.
Are you into this backup quarterback battle? Because I am. Logan Wood signed and Deshaun Kizer. What? How closely are you going to pay attention to that, Coach?
Well, sure, I'll watch it. I mean, and let me say this too, Brent, and the fact that you're involved in it, I like it because you're going to get to see a lot of it because those three preseason games, get ready. That's
going to be playing. See that, Davenport? No Tannehill. I want those two guys.
I just said it's a brand new offensive coordinator. I get that they're similar pieces, but these offensive pieces gotta learn to work together before the first snap of the first game.
Dawn, you know how many? Well, okay, Dawn.
I know. Again, here it comes.
I know. I'm going to talk you off the ledge of Elf on a Shelf. Okay.
I like that, Coach Bay.
Oh man.
They get so many reps during practice.
Those aren't real reps, Coach Mack.
Those are real reps, Don Davenport.
Those are real reps. You're going against the number one. You're going against number one defense. When you're in a preseason game, especially with your ones, if you do play them, you only really want to play them when the other team has got their first group in there. And let me just say this. When you will probably see the ones this season, I'm just guessing. I've been in nobody's meeting rooms. But because you've got that extra week in between games after that third one this year, are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably when you're going to see a little bit more of that early in that game.
Hey, Daniel on Facebook Live asking about Dylan Radins at right tackle. What do you think about
that? Yeah, he got a lot of attention today because he's going to be involved in this mix. And here's the thing. You talk about speed. One thing I like that Vrabel did today that was really smart. And I was at practice, so I can say this. I'm not giving away anything. That they, you know, in minicamp, you can't have any contact. Okay, none, no contact. Those teams that got fined, they got fined for having contact.
Mm.
All right. Now, training camp, you can have contact, but you got no pads on now. But Mike Vrabel's played long enough. I've coached long enough. I saw exactly what he was doing. He was still going one on one with a defensive and offensive lineman, but he took the helmet completely out of it. Still have their helmets on, but a lot of that stuff it is involved, you know, because you got to lead in there and you got to move and he was just using footwork and handwork with those one-on-ones going against defensive line, offensive line. It was a great drill to watch. Okay, that's where Dylan Radins will learn a whole lot because it's all about your feet, it's about your sets, and it's about how quick you are with your hands. The National Football League, in collegiate football, you don't have to be that quick with it. You just don't. Because the people you're going against, first of all, are not pressuring you that much. And second of all, what you're doing offensively is different than what you do, you know, in this league. But feet and hands are so important. And being able to separate both ways. You've got to be able to shock and shed on defense. And you've got to be able to punch and recoil on offense. I watched that drill. I liked it. And Dylan Radins was getting a lot of work in it.
There he is, Coach Mack. Always love the visits. I wanted to get into Naquan Jones because I missed Daquan Jones, which I know sounds funny, but we'll do that next time.
Well, we can do whatever you want.
Look at that. Unless Don Davenport gets pissed about something.
Don't make Don mad.
Yeah, it is.
There it is. Coach Mack, no.
All right, Coach, thank you.
Leave Don alone. See you.
Thanks,
all right, Coach.
Coach
Mack, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. We'll be right back. HL 104.5 The Zone. Love having Coach Mack on. If you missed it, perfect podcasting opportunity. Make sure you subscribe to the 3HL podcast, where you get your podcasts, rate, review, all those things. Humpty Dance Slay. Slay's late to the microphone because he was doing crunches, ab work.
Yeah, I'm getting my core together.
He's getting his core together, he said. Austin Huff joins us now. Austin, how's your core?
It's been better, that's for sure.
It's been better.
Yeah. I've got like a flat tire around my waist. If that means good, then yeah, I'm my core's great.
So you tweeted I'll be hitting on either this year's Madden ratings or how the Treaty of Versailles was good at first but may have related to German powers rising again in World War II.
Yeah. If I have time, I'll get to that. But first, I want to hit on the Madden ratings, and I know how dumb or just immature it is to get fired up about Madden ratings. But today, today some ratings came out, and I'm fired up about it. So I know the Madden ratings only go up to 99, but if there was ever a player in the sport who should be a 100 overall, it's Derek Lamar Henry Jr. All right, the Madden ratings for running backs came out today, and guess what, guys? Derrick Henry wasn't the top-ranked running back in the sport. It was Christian McCaffrey. All right? I'd be okay if they were tied for the top spot. I'd be okay with that. But Derrick wasn't even a member of the coveted 99 club, nor was he a member of the 98 club or the 97 club. Derrick Henry in Madden 22 is a 96 rating. A 96. EA Sports, it's in the game. More like it's insane. Is complaining about Madden ratings dumb? You betcha. Does it mean a damn thing? Not at all. But with Cork Bats being the number one Derrick Henry fan site on the internet, I have to stick up for my guy. Derrick Henry is as close to a creative player as we have in the NFL today. You know how back in the day you'd create a player? You know, you'd probably make him like 7 feet tall, like 390 pounds. You know, probably make him like a white dude with dreadlocks just because you've never seen it before. And then he'd go out and he'd put up video game numbers, average like 250 yards per game with defenders just bouncing off of him. Huh. That's funny. That sounds familiar. Probably because Derrick Henry is that creative player, except it was God on the sticks when he was created. Like, I want to know where in his game isn't maxed out to give him a 99 overall? Like, what areas is he suffering in? What his speed? Because Derrick Henry clocked the fourth fastest speed in the sport last season. Not of just running backs, of all position players. Only Raheem Mostert and a Chargers cornerback topped him last season. It was that 94-yard run against the Texans last year. He topped out over 21 miles per hour. My man was speeding in a school zone, all right? The fourth fastest speed in football behind only two other guys. Think about that for a second. The guys in the sport who were faster than him last year, not Tyreek Hill, not Lamar Jackson, and certainly not Ed McCaffrey's son. But Derek Lamar Henry Jr. was faster than them all. That may sound impossible, but I assure you it's not, all right? What about strength? Derek Henry is more built than a rhinoceros. Christian McCaffrey looks like a summer camp counselor compared to Derek. All right. While he's making sure Cabin 12 is going to sleep, Derrick Henry is putting NFL defenders to sleep. All right. I don't think we need Derrick to drop another Cirque du Soleil workout tape to prove he's the strongest back in the sport. What about vision or awareness? Right. I mean, can't be right. Like, have you ever seen a photo of this dude running the rock? His eyes are wider than the literal eyeballs emoji. He's like that dude from Ripley's Believe It or Not who can pop his eyeballs out of the socket only on a football field, all right? And we know it's not stiff arm. We know he's lacking in the stiff arm category. That thing might be rated higher than Paddington 2 on IMDb, all right? But you know, this shouldn't be a shock for any of us. What's the biggest knock on the Madden franchise? That they don't change it up from year to year. It's the same game with a new fresh coat of paint every season. Madden is the MTV Pimp My Ride of video games. Do you guys remember Pimp My Ride?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, who doesn't, right? Exhibit and his crew would take someone's janky car, spruce it up, and then just give it back to them. They'd be like, we heard you like to eat seafood, so we put a whole aquarium in your trunk. Or like, we know you like doing laundry, so we put an entire dry cleaner in the back of your Mazda. Or like, remember you telling us about your pet hamster, Mr. Cuddles? Well, we put a giant hamster cage in your back seat. Like, I literally saw an episode where they said, we're going to put a sink in this car. And Exhibit's like, why would you put a sink in a car? And the guy's like, because it's never been done before. But the problem with that show is they'd add flat screens, Xboxes, sinks, flaming dragon murals to your car, but they'd never touch the engine. All right. So this car could suck, but when they were done, at least it sucked with a cappuccino machine inside of it. That's where Madden's at. All right. They'll add a hot tub, maybe a blender, maybe some racing stripes, but under the hood, it's still the same damn game. And this Derrick Henry rating is only proof of that. A 96 rating, much like their gameplay, clearly they haven't changed Derrick's rating in years either. Pretty sure Derrick Henry was a 96 when he was backing up DeMarco Murray. Derrick Henry was a 96 when he was splitting carries with Deion Lewis. Last time Derrick Henry was as low as a 96 in the NFL, he was in NCAA, which was still a game back then. You could give Derrick Henry COVID and he'd still be higher than a 96. He's one of 8 guys to ever rush for 2,000 yards in a season. Yeah, but sure, 96 seems adequate. These video game dweebs don't have to face the music. They give these guys ratings without ever leaving their cubicles. I'd love them to tell Derrick Henry to his face that he's only a 96 rating. They'd be stiff-armed into their work lockers so fast. So Madden, maybe go back to your workshops. Go back to the Madden factory and pimp my running back, all right? Give him a damn 100 rating. Why? Because it's never been done before.
How about Brett Kern wearing the Derrick Henry stiff arm t-shirt?
Oh, yeah.
To the facility yesterday. That was phenomenal.
He gets my senior superlative for best dressed yesterday walking into that. That was awesome.
By the way,
that's my punter right there.
I want a corkbats.com, corks with a K, brawl with whatever the Christian McCaffrey like fan club, biggest fan club site is.
Oh, yeah. If you've got the number one Christian McCaffrey fan site on the internet, come at me, bro. Come at me. All right.
At Austin Huff on Twitter. Thank you, Austin. Appreciate it.
Hey, hashtag free cork bats. Help us get our Instagram account back. Thanks. Love you guys.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. So if you're watching on Zone TV, he was glitching. I literally said to Joe Hunk, it looks like Max Headroom. And then sure enough, somebody on Twitter Facebook said the same thing. Max Headroom.
My favorite response was somebody says, Austin looks like he's showing us what the new Madden glitches are going to look like.
So funny.
I love it. All right. When we come back, more Titan stuff. And we've got some questions. Training camp questions next on 104.5 The Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Firestone Tires, the only tires driven by IndyCar drivers. They are hitting the road and racing finally, and they're doing it on the streets of Nashville, the streets that they call home. You can watch all weekend, August 6th through the 8th, Firestone Rubber meets the legendary streets right here in Music City. Enjoy the sweet music of IndyCars racing along every stretch of downtown Nashville, crossing the water there on the Korean Veterans Bridge. Yep. Feels good to be home for Firestone, the exclusive tire of the big machine.